I'll be your cool. I'll be your kid's cool aunt. Okay. Yes.
Titi Khan.
I will be your kid's cool aunt. Like, I feel like I will have, like, I need to have conversations with my friends, but I'll be like, okay, are you cool with your kid smoking pot with me?
I always told Alex, if that one day that we, like, go through their girls' rooms and we find something,
yeah.
I told him, I'm smoking that shit.
Oh my God. It's okay, you can sniff all you want.
No, don't say sorry.
Hello everyone.
You guys,
welcome back to the podcast. Whoa, that's a new one.
That is a new one. I kind of like it. Don't leave it.
Okay, cool.
No redos.
All right, well, welcome back to Mental Tunin, the podcast. A comedy podcast about living with mental illness and learning how to achieve mental chillness.
We're your hosts today. I'm Jules.
And I'm Khan. And we are joined by a very special guest.
Special, special.
Literally, like, so special. So we have a friend of the pod in the house. We have Jenny. Ooh, she is a realtor, a full-time mom. She runs a YouTube blog that talks about diary of stay-at-home mom and stuff. Oh my gosh, she's just so amazing. And we finally get to have her on. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Oh my gosh, first, I'm so honored.
Yes. Someone else that says honored. I love it here.
I'm pretty sure they all say it because of you now.
You guys are so cute. What is that?
Oh, because we don't want to, like, clap, so we just do, like, little hand claps.
Oh, you guys are so cute. Okay.
God, I feel like we look like crabs.
I'm double, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yay, thank you for so having me. Happy that you're here.
Yeah.
Yay. How's everyone doing? Are we mentally chill or ill? What's up?
We are mentally chill right now.
Very chill.
Always
so
chill.
Happy. So
I say this third guest, third time. Pure bliss. I feel pure bliss right now.
Yeah.
Literally, like, always, like, getting to record with other people, but, like, especially, I don't know what it is. I just love my friends, bro.
There we go.
Like, I just love my friends, and I love seeing, like, people, like, you know, like, I love growing with people. I feel like I've always watched, like, your creations, like, your creative, like, things that you put out, like, your YouTube and whatever.
Oh,
and then, like, it's so cool that I get to do something, and then I get to, like, have you on it.
Yes, like, we're creating together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. It was so cute. Like, she was fangirling when she was talking about you, and she was like, oh, I just can't wait to talk about, like, I wonder if she remembers how we met. Like, I just want to say it.
Oh,
she said it. Like, it was, like,
this
it was the cutest
the most,
thing. Like, she was
most,
fangirling.
Like, deep cut. Literally the deepest cut for anyone of, like, me meeting them.
Oh, my god.
When I was literally, so I came here in fifth grade, right? Like I said, I didn't know nobody. One day, my uncle was like, so we're going to go hang out with somebody that I know.
There's always
that
one uncle.
Right? Whatever. We go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Ooh.
And, like, I was, like, in, like, sixth grade or something, and Jenny's older. So, right? So we went to Chuck E. Cheese, bro. And, like, we spent, like, the day together, and I was just literally, like, why is she so nice?
Aww.
Like, she was literally, like, so kind, right? And then I'm in high school. I go into class, and I was like, oh, it's Jenny. But then I didn't want to be like, I wonder if she remembers me.
Yeah.
So I was just like, hi, Jenny. And then we, like, made friends from there. But then I was, the back of my mind, I was always like, does she remember that one time we went to Chuck E. Cheese?
Because I remember her. Because she was way too nice.
Oh, for real. You were always so nice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I don't know. I always heard that I was always nice. And I don't know.
Because you're so kind. Like, I feel like you're so, your energy, like, I feel like certain people give off certain energy. And yours has always been so, like, light and nurturing. That's why when you became a mom, I was like, it's almost like she's meant to be. Like,
yeah.
It's literally, like, I think that
yeah.
you're meant to be. It's
yeah
crazy.
I think about that all the time, because, like, I don't have anything that I would rather do, and I never knew it until I had kids. I was like, oh, maybe, like, I'm so content being
yeah.
a mom. So
how
know.
Old were you when you had Emma?
I was 20.
Wow.
Yeah. which is pretty young, even though when you're 20, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm old or enough, you know, right? Yeah. You think you're older, but looking back now, oh, yeah, because I just turned 25, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, like, wow. 5 years ago, I was 20. It was, like, crazy.
That's so awesome. Crazy. I remember, like, in one of your videos, you were talking about, or you said something about, like, you don't mind you like sacrificing your 20s or using your 20s to like raise your family or to give it towards your kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that has always stuck with me because that is such a unique take, at least to me and like who I surround myself with and whatever it is. And like in my own mindset, like I'm like the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And I respect this so much because like in all the ways that I think almost like if I choose to not have kids, I feel okay because there are moms like you out there.
Right.
That's like, you know,
that make up for
like,
It's crazy. I was always like, wow, that's amazing.
Right. Like we all have our preferences of how we want to do this life, right?
Exactly.
And this is how I want to do it, and that's how you want to do it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, we're coexisting, I guess.
Just
no,
like
but before we get into that, I wanted to, like, go off of how we met.
Yes.
So I remember you from, like, I don't know, like, going to Chuck E. Cheese, I don't think I remember that. But I remember one time you sent me, like, we took a photo booth picture together, and you sent me a picture of that, I think.
Oh, my God.
I remember that.
TBT.
And very TBT. And so how I remember you is just from Southwood.
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't probably say that, right? Like, it's elementary school that we both went to. And I remember seeing you there. Yeah, I just remember always knowing you.
Wow, that's
like, I just,
fucking crazy.
Yes, I just remember, like, if I'm, like, if I close my eyes right now and I'm thinking, like, I picture you, I see you, and then I see the playground in the background.
Yes.
And, like, we would just, like, because we, you know, you were a year younger.
Yeah.
So we didn't have classes together. So we're, like, passing by, like.
Wow, that is insane. This so is that's probably, like, the longest trail of anyone, like, tracing back to me, remembering them. Besides all the kids that bullied me.
I know, I hear about that.
Bitch, some of them are, some of them follow me.
Oh my gosh!
And
I'm always like,
do you remember? Do you remember when you were fucking cruel?
No, yeah, I was listening to your episodes and I heard that. I'm like, what? Like, I had no idea.
Yeah,
you gotta let me know who.
Dude, no,
after we end this,
that's so crazy because we went to like all the same schools when I was in school. Actually, like, I was alone so much, like, at lunch, and I feel like because I was so sad and I looked so sad, this one teacher felt so bad for me that she tried to create, like, a group, like,
for
a girl
you?
Group, like, yeah, basically, not for me, but kind of that she gathered everyone that she saw that wasn't having a connection or whatever it is, right? And I, like, remember just, like, sitting in there and going there, and I just remember, like, wow, this is so sad. Like, it is really sweet of her, but like the effort just wasn't seen, I guess, by us or whatever, you know. But I just remember, like,
we're all like,
wow.
Stephanie, don't you dare touch my sandcastle,
bitch.
No, and I also remember you from like the temple.
Yes,
I remember.
What the fuck? This is so crazy.
I'm glad. Well, do you remember, right? Because I remember.
I
don't remember Chuck E. Cheese.
Faintly. See, like, I remember more Chuck E. Cheese, and then I remember everything else, like, faintly, up until, like, I went into high school, and then I sat down in class, and I was like, oh my God, Jenny's here.
Right, like, yeah.
That's
no, I remember you at the temple, and it was nice to see you at the temple, because it was like, I would go and not know anybody.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see a familiar face.
That's insane. Yes. And then, dude, okay, so I really, really wanted to have Jen on because ever since we, like, started the podcast, when thinking about topics, I've always thought about, like I said, I have a really different mentality when it comes to kids, but so many people around me are young parents, and I just really want to acknowledge, like, what it is to go through, like, okay, when our parents were having children, it was different. Like, their mentality was different, the world was different, how the way everything works was different. And now, like, when I think about young parents now, there are so many different choices and ways to be. And, like, again, just hearing you choose to, like, be a parent and all of that. I, a lot of my friends, like, also, like, choose to be parents and young parents and whatever, and I'm very happy for them. But I've always just wondered, like, how the fuck do you keep your chill? Because for me, I'm, like, I can barely keep my chill taking care of myself.
100%.
Like... And you're out here just, like, one-upping all of us.
Oh,
like,
not only that. Listen. Oh, no. Listen, if you don't know Jenny personally, her energy is literally contagious. Aww. Like, this is my first time meeting her. And she's an Aries. I don't know if we just, like, connected right away.
It's Aries season.
Like,
it's Aries season.
That's what it is, too.
It's in the air.
That's what it is.
I'm in the gang. I'm in the gang.
But she's, like, so soft-spoken. Like, she has so much patience. I can smell it. Like, she's just so, like... I literally spoke to her for maybe like 10 minutes. And I said, come to my birthday. Like, she's just... She's so, like... I want to be friends with her. Like, she's just so contagious. Sweet. Like, this is, like, yeah. So, I want to know how you get... I can definitely tell that you are patient. Mm-hmm. And where does that come from? And how are you so soft and so smooth? Ugh. And I don't know. You just seem like you have, like, this calm. And I feel like a lot of my friends that are parents have to, I guess, like, adapt to that and pay. Because for me, I'm impatient. I'm like, where the fuck is my food? I'm sitting in the Taco Bell... waiting line. I'm like, bro, where is this? And for I guess, like, young parents, they have to, like, adapt to that.
Right. I don't know. I guess I never really, like, I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
But because I also feel like I'm not patient. So it's like, maybe I'm just, like, my first impression.
Yeah.
To you guys. Because when you're, like, you're saying that I'm, like, calm, I'm just, like, picturing me yelling at my husband. And, like,
what's
arguing. And I'm screaming. I'm shaking. So, yeah. So that's very sweet of you guys. You guys are so sweet. I'm going to cry. Seriously.
No,
thank you. No, but thank you for having me here.
No, of course.
And I think the conversation is important, even if you're not a parent, you know? Just
exactly.
So we all know what's going on.
Exactly. But also so that you know how to be there for your friends who are becoming parents. And, like, what they need and, like, how to... Like, yeah, okay, so I can just go get more single friends. Mm-hmm. But, like, what the fuck? I want to be there for my other friends and then how to, like, grow. And even if I'm not doing the same thing as you, I always say this, like, I like to learn through, I guess, like, different perspectives. So I love to watch, like, interviews of people because I love hearing about where they come from and their mindset and how they created that mindset and, like, why and why it works for them. Because... there are so many things happening. I'm never going to experience it all, but to know that it's out there and then to be able to learn from it, I can always use it and then put it into my own lessons or whatever I go through and whatever. But yeah, I think it's important to just fucking be know how to be there for your parents, your friends who are becoming young parents and new parents and stuff. Maybe then you can work it out and then hang out with your friends who are parents.
That
and then, you know, have a good ass time.
Exactly. Yeah. No, yeah. And then... I mean, not to get political, but when it does come to politics, you got to think about the children. So you got to know what's going on with the parents and what the parents need. Not to get political, but, like, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
we're 100%. All for each other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
What was it like for you? So you were really young when you first got pregnant. Like, what was it like for you, like, being that age and, like, processing it all and then, like, making your decision? Or, and even if you didn't have to make a decision and you knew it right away, like, what you wanted to do, like, what was it like, just processing that? And then processing the gut to, like, tell your parents, first of all. Because me being Vietnamese and you being Vietnamese, I cannot imagine. I'm out anytime other Vietnamese kids are, like, just a different way. I'm always like, what are your parents like? Like, what do they allow you to do?
I was very excited to, like... to see you and catch up to, like, talk about these things, like, our parents and, like, compare it and all that. So that's why I was like, I need to come back so that we can hang out. Wait, what was the question?
What was it like just processing that? Like, when you first got pregnant, like, initially in your...
Yes. So literally my first thought when I saw the pregnancy test, I literally was like, my life is over. literally, straight up, my life is over. And... luckily, Alex was very supportive, and it's not, and it wasn't also a surprise. It wasn't, like, a complete surprise. Right? We knew what we were doing. We weren't, like, I wasn't on birth control, and, like, we weren't using protection, you know? So it wasn't like a complete surprise.
Yeah.
It was just like, holy crap. Like it happened. Also, I like pretty much ran away from home. Like I told my parents I wanted to like go live with Alex and, you know, Vietnamese parents.
Wow.
Yes. And so that was a whole shit show. They like showed up to my job. Like I left when they were at work. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. Yeah. So I told them all that. I was like, I want to move out. And they're like, no, you can't. You have to be married. I'm like, okay, I'll go to the courthouse, get married. And they're like, no, you have to have a wedding. Cause you know, Asian people.
Yeah. 3 days.
You have to have a wedding. You have to invite all these uncles and aunts that you've never met before. And so whatever. So I ended up moving out anyways, and I took my stuff when they were working, and I moved all my stuff out, and then I worked that night, and they knew I was working that night, so they showed up to my job.
Oh my God.
And I had their location on my phone, so I was like refreshing it and seeing them like show up to my job. Oh my God, like the anxiety, bro, through the roof. And I saw that they were coming in, so then I went to the back of the room. And I just waited there. And then my manager was like, hey, your mom's out here. She's like, she's asking for you. I'm like, oh, okay. And I worked at a front desk at a hotel. So then I walked out.
You have to be in the front.
So I'm like outside in my little uniform. I walked all the way to the end of the desk. And I'm talking to my parents. And my parents are just threatening me. Just saying like all these things. Oh, like, you better come home. They're like, I'm gonna tell your manager something, and then you're not gonna have a job. And then my mom's telling me all this, and
why
then my dad's
like that?
I, right?
Oh my God! And then your mom's literally telling your dad to back her up.
And my dad's literally like, yeah, like that's not gonna be good if you don't have a job and you can't work. You know, just like saying like just add on.
Bro, literally.
Like just the craziest shit. And
they
so,
like they're like manipulating you. No. Like they're like
from
it's crazy.
The birth. From birth. Crazy. So that's pretty much the gist of it. But we're good now.
Oh, wow. Mom. Yeah, because I see like your parents are really good with your kids.
Right now, like, yeah.
That's
good. We're
awesome.
Cool.
You're married now.
Yeah, I'm married. Yeah. I mean, I feel like my mom still holds like a like it really upset her, so I feel like she'll always hold like a little grudge against it. But
so how
she's
was it
happy.
Telling her like, hey, by the way,
I'm pregnant.
I'm pregnant, girl, and you're the grandma.
I think she knew it was gonna happen. She more was like, you're gonna keep it right, and like, okay, like now you got to start taking care. Like her mom
was like, okay, what's
kicked
next?
On. Yeah, like she was.
Were
accepting it, you know.
Was Emma her first grandkid?
Her second.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then yeah, her second.
Nice.
Yeah.
Regardless, I feel like they like end up just being so fucking happy that you give them grandchildren, because that's literally all they ever fucking want.
Oh, is your parents asking you?
Dude, well, you're not getting it, because when I wanted to date,
they asked me.
So they always, well, it's not that like, they ask me or whatever, but like they want.
They initially
express
like,
that.
Oh, boyfriend?
They express that they
boyfriend?
Want it. Yeah, my family be so nosy.
Listen.
Of course.
But like, listen, if I liked you a little more, I would disclose some information.
I'm like, I didn't want to tell her.
So... when you were in your process of processing that information.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Did you, were you ready to like, because I mean, I don't fucking know what the fuck you have to prepare to sacrifice. Were you ready to make sacrifices?
I think with Emma, I had no idea what I was doing, I guess. I didn't know like what was to come or what was happening, I guess. Like I knew like I had a lot of responsibility. But I didn't realize what's to come, I guess. I didn't know what was coming.
You didn't know what to expect.
Right. But when I was pregnant with Ella, I, like, started reflecting. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I feel like I've sacrificed a lot. And that was, like, the first time I started thinking about, like, sacrifices I made. And I've been going to a therapist. Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I also told her about this podcast. I was like, oh, my friend invited me.
Yay!
But, yeah, and I told her about it. I was like... I feel like I sacrificed so much, just like feeling really bad and just feeling all these negative emotions.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, and I was pregnant, right? So all of that. She was like, well, did you want to be pregnant? Oh, because I was complaining about how Alex would be able to drink a glass of wine and I wouldn't be able to. And then, like, how just random things. And just that being pregnant, like, I can't do.
But all relevant things that women, like,
valid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. feel
right
through pregnancy.
Right.
I'm sure everyone feels that. And not that you guys mean to have that kind of, not resentment, but have that kind of feelings or whatever, because those are all valid things. Like, you're kind of missing out.
Right.
And you're watching your partner, like, just having it in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Carrying both of your babies.
Exactly. And we would have, like, get-togethers, and then, you know, people would stay late, and I'm, like, walking around with my bump, you know. But, I mean, it's fine. I had fun, you know, whatever. But what my therapist was asking, she was like, well, did you want to be pregnant? Did you want to have this baby? And I was like, yeah, I did. Like, I'm so happy to be pregnant, and I'm so blessed. And she's like, well, it sounds like you're, like, being bitter. Like, she straight up told me. She's like, sounds like you're being bitter. You know, you wanted to be pregnant and you wanted to have this baby. And but that really, like, clicked with me, and not in a bad way.
No.
You know, so, and she was like, yeah, because she's so blunt. She even told me, she's like, she apologizes for it. I'm like, no, like, I feel like I need to hear it, I guess. Like, and it is true.
It's kind of like a wake up call.
Right, yeah. And she was like, yeah, sometimes moms kind of need that, like, slap on the hand, like a little reminder, like, come on, like, what are you doing?
Wow.
But from that, I realized that, you know, my kids didn't ask to be brought to this world. Like, they didn't have that choice to be brought into this world. Like, I made that decision to bring them into this world. So, therefore, they have every right to be prioritized, right? Like, they deserve to be prioritized. So.
That's insane that you said that, because from the way that I process my relationship with my family, especially with my parents and my extended family here, like my aunts, uncle, my grandma and grandpa, their view of us, like the kids and whatever, I think that they're like, there's always a kind of sort of like really what is that fucking word, like, kind of, when you, like, okay, so when you have kids, right, you have an expectation of how you want them to be and whatever it is. I think that the older generation just kind of hangs on to that a little more. Yeah. And so when I process just the way that we, you know, like, clash and stuff, I've always, always made that argument that, like, you keep telling me that I should be grateful for this, and that. Don't act like I'm an ungrateful bitch. What I'm saying is that I didn't ask to be fucking brought into this world. Like, I literally didn't ask to be brought into this world. So don't make that argument at me. Come at me in a different way, bro.
Right.
Like, there are different arguments that you can make that are valid, but not this one. Not the one that I have to be grateful because you, whatever. You did all of this, and not to throw it back in their face, but you did all of this because these are the things that you wanted for yourself, and I understand that. And I understand the way that you come at me is because of your own experience. It's not personal to me.
Right.
But then don't come at me like I am whatever. Because I didn't ask to be brought here. I'm just here now. And I just happened to come out of you, which is cool. I'm grateful. Whatever. But that's crazy that you said that.
Yeah.
But that's awesome.
Like, they should be giving you unconditional love. Right.
Yeah. Because, like when I come out and I just don't happen to be the way that you want, why are you punishing me for that?
Right.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are different ways to approach that, I feel. Because, like, you can't come at a kid like they're wrong for just literally being themselves.
Or for expressing themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like,
like, you're still learning to navigate the world.
Exactly. But, that's my own trauma.
Same.
I was
going to
say, let's dive into that. Oh, gosh, no, but, like, my parents, or I guess most Vietnamese parents, they're very verbally abusive.
Yes, it's, like, really tough love mm-hmm. that only you would understand that they're coming at you in the way that they care for you. But if you were a stranger and you listen to it, it's really harsh.
It's so hard. I was gonna say harsh.
Yeah, it's like it's really harsh. It's like word, like whipped.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Yeah, I always told like people, like Asian people are like savages.
Yes.
Like, if you look back in history books too, they're savages. They just like no emotion.
Dude.
It's like it's in their blood.
You know what's funny? My aunts and uncles now, they wonder why I don't talk to them. Even my grandma and grandpa, and I'm like,
aww,
why are you so surprised, bro?
They wonder?
Like literally, like why are you so surprised? Like you think that I just have to forget about all the shit that you said that was traumatizing mm-hmm. to me. Like, just because now you want to be friends, bitch? No.
Yeah.
But it's just funny. Yeah. Yes. Vietnamese people, especially Vietnamese parents, are very, very harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also because, like, it's not their fault. Well, it's... And,
the war, like, the Vietnam War has a great effect on our parents.
They're just literally... I think Vietnamese people come from a long line of, like, just survival.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, our parents are not really affectionate or whatever. At least mine are not, because they were never taught that way. Their parents...
There's no time for that.
Exactly. My mom... What's crazy is when my mom talked about her dad, like, my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
The, like, one thing that she repeats all the time is, like, she would always say, like, I was caught. And like to translate that, it's like he was very strict
difficult
and like in a way that it was like fearful, like his mm-hmm. children were fearful of him because he was so strict in his ways in raising them because he came from a military background. Same mm-hmm. with my dad's family. And like that's a lot of cases, I think, in the long lines of like Vietnamese families that like there was no affection and no teaching of that kind of like love and being because
and
like
emotion.
Yeah, an expression of emotions.
Right.
Like I feel like because you're so set on survival that you just keep passing on like this one way of being.
Right.
That's why right now, because I broke that pattern
mm-hmm.
and I broke that cycle, it's so fucking hard to like gap that bridge
mm-hmm.
because it's crazy to accept and know and not be irritated by the fact that I know I have to do more of the work.
Mm.
Because in whatever case, I know that I can grow. I know that I can put myself into your perspective and your shoes and whatever. But there's a chance that you might not, that you might never change.
Right.
You know? I get it. I have to do more of the work. I have to initiate this. I have to do all the unlearning so that you can see that you can unlearn too.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to understand that you will have a harder time.
Yes.
That's crazy
that
you say that,
yeah.
You know? And it's cool, but goddamn, that shit is a lot.
Like, give me a break, yeah. Yeah, I always thought that too. Like, my parents will never change. Or, like, there's nothing you can do to change them. Or and that you're going to waste your breath if you try to, like, argue with them about anything. So I totally feel that.
Exactly. So because you experienced you experienced 3 pregnancies.
Yes.
And I'm really grateful that you're open to talking about baby Noah.
Baby Noah.
So it's called an angel baby?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you tell the people?
Honestly, I don't even know. Like, there's just so many, because like if I was to explain it to someone, I usually go straight to be like, oh, I had a miscarriage. But it wasn't really a miscarriage because I gave birth.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I had an abortion. Like, because I'm like in my head, what do I say? All these things are true, right? In a way.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh, I had an abortion. But then I would think about it. I didn't have an abortion.
Yeah.
I did terminate my pregnancy earlier than expected per doctor orders. But I gave birth because they induced me and everything. And I gave birth. And he was tiny and he was cute. We got to hold him. We got to like... cuddle with him. But just to like, you know, talk, should we dive into that or should
yeah
we?
If you okay if okay, you okay. Comfortable, yeah
of course. So I was 21 weeks pregnant when we found out that he had cysts all over his kidneys.
Wow.
And so his kidneys weren't able to like function properly, and he needs his kidneys so that he can like develop his other lungs and stuff, like, you know, the amniotic. Oh, he didn't have enough amniotic fluid in the sack. And so that's where he gets all his, you know, the good stuff, right? I'm not good at science.
You're doing great.
Yeah. So they pretty much told me that he was not compatible for life, and that they suggested that I should terminate my pregnancy. And I remember right when they told me that, I started like, I had like an outer body experience.
Wow.
Like they were like, cause then she.
Like you didn't hear any sentence after that.
Yeah. You know, she's talking,
but I'm not hearing anything.
It's like nothing's, muted. Yeah. Like I have headphones on. Right. So she tells me that, and I guess I start crying, or like I make like a noise. I don't know. And then she starts going on to explain my options of what to do next. And that is crazy. I understand that that's like the process.
Yeah.
So right when she told me, she gave me all the options of what to do next. Like she was very sweet about it. She like apologized. She's like, I'm so sorry. You know, and I was by myself too, because I didn't think it was anything serious going in. Because they saw it on the ultrasound and they're like, look, we need you to come back in. So she gave me my options to have an abortion or give birth. And she was explaining each option to me. She was explaining each option to me. And I just thought it was bizarre. Just like, I mean, I understand that you need to like explain, like you need to know everything that's going on for you to make a choice. Mm-hmm. But it's just crazy how it all happens.
Yeah, it's so much to download within that time that you're being told.
Right. Yeah. And then she was telling me too that, because I was a couple days away of going on a trip to Tennessee. And I was like, okay, well, maybe what if I go on the trip? It was about a week trip. I was like, what if I go on the trip and I come back and I decide and I make a decision? And she was like, well, you would have to decide soon because something about the state law.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like I went to Winnie Palmer. Yeah. So, like, I guess their rules is, like, they can't terminate a pregnancy at, like, 24 weeks, 23 weeks.
I've been seeing so many cases of moms being, like, sent to prison. In charge
for like
terminating their like for you know whatever
yeah so yeah I don't really know the law of it, but it's something like that. She pretty much was telling me that I, because again I was
like,
going on a trip
now.
And I was thinking, well, maybe, because in my head I was like, well, okay, now that I know that he's not gonna survive, I'll have this last week and you know, just really like him. Really process, right, and really be like, oh, I'm, you know, having my baby for the last time and stuff. It sounds like crazy too, right? In a way, but like when you're pregnant, it's just so crazy. And then I remember just feeling so much like anger at that too, because I'm like, oh, fuck this world, right? Like America, right? Just like why can't I take my time and think about it? And I know it's kind of crazy to like wait any longer because you essentially are terminating the pregnancy, I guess, you know, to like think about it on the other side. Which, by the way, I'm very like, not to get political again, but I'm very pro-choice. Like, I'm so I'm so pro-choice. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm one of those where I like personally, I'm like, I would never decide, like, if I get pregnant by mistake, I will never like choose that option, you know, because again, I'm a mother, I'll take it, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's just me. But I'm not going to decide for everyone else, right? And even before this happened to me, I've always been pro-choice. And then this happened to me, and I'm like, ah, oh, fuck America. Like, fucking pro-choice. And I'm also very empathetic. So now even seeing just, like, comments about abortion, I really just get so angry. And I just want to, like, go off on them. But, like, it's too much of my energy. It messes with my mind a little bit, because if I think about it, like, because I explained in my YouTube video about how, like, I was scheduling my ultrasound and I wanted to schedule it before I go on a trip to Tennessee so I can see the baby and all that. And they were like, oh, like, we don't have until the middle of the next month or whatever. And I remember thinking like, oh, I'll just call back. And I called back and I got this appointment and then this happened. So like, what if I did wait a little longer?
Yeah.
And I didn't, like, I missed that window. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Right. Cause I'm okay now. Yeah. Like everything happened. Like I, you know, I cried about it. I still can, if I really, really, really think about it, I can start crying again, you know, thinking about baby Noah, but I cannot imagine how my mental health would have been if I would have had to continue the pregnancy.
Yes.
You know, and then I remember when I was pregnant with Ella, we went to this ultrasound lady in Nemours because I was considered high risk and everything. So, you know, I'm talking to the best of the best. And I talked to the doctor and I asked her because, you know, I have all these thoughts in my head. So I asked her, I'm like, okay, if I didn't do any, if I, oh, I'm like getting, yeah. I'm like getting worked up. I asked her, what if I didn't do what I did? What if I just kept on with the pregnancy? She said there two things would have happened. You would have given birth to what would have looked like a normal, healthy baby, but the baby won't have lungs, so the baby will suffer trying to breathe.
Yeah.
And like, we can't really make lungs, you know? How you know, that's like that's Mother Nature, that's in the belly. Or another option would be that he would have passed in my stomach and I would have given birth
to a still sleeping baby.
So
wow,
all traumatizing, right?
Yeah, even worse than yeah.
Horrible options, horrible choices. But like, I in a way I feel like baby Noah protected me from that. And me and Alex always say that he protected us. Cause, and then that was like peak COVID too. So a lot of times when we would get invited out to places, like our friend had a get together and we're like, I don't want to risk it. I'm pregnant. I don't want to risk it. So he saved us from those moments. Who knows? You know, you never know. Thank God everyone's okay.
Yeah.
So it feels like he saved us from that moment. But I, you know, can't help but think about the mothers who didn't make that window.
Yeah.
And they have to carry the baby.
Can I ask what you think is like helpful to be to give to someone, or how to be there to someone that is like that experiences any kind of loss of like kids?
I don't know.
Or just not even like how did you get through it? Like what was it even like processing that? Because I'm sure that it, like, if you were have to, like, if your mental health would have, like, sank, that's extremely understandable.
Right.
But how the fuck do you get out of that?
I don't know. And I don't, and I mean, in my experience, like, I had Emma, so I had to, like, I had to get going, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And you had to pick up and, like, put, like, that super mom cape on.
Yeah. And then she's also, like, super toddler to me, too. Like, like, all this is happening, and I'm, like, you know, kind of, like, not in the best mood, and she just, like, knows and like she hugs, like, she's just so sweet, like she knows,
you know, kids really that intuitive, holy shit.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh
for
yeah.
Real, I've never around kids. I don't I've never held a baby.
She may bring my kids.
Fuck. Yeah, for real, I want to see if I can be around them, because I talk to kids like they're adults. I don't know
you
how to treat them.
Yeah, you should.
Okay, cool. Please, what?
Yeah, I I heard that you should talk to kids as if you're talking to anybody else, right? Because you do baby talk thing.
Okay, love it.
Exactly. How are they learning from
it? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so funny because one of my friends, my really good friends, his name's Mark. He has a son and I always go high five. And one day, you know, we're really cool. Usually me and him are really cool. And I said high five the other day. And he said, you know, I have a mom, right?
Oh.
And I just looked at him and I said, I'm not trying to be your mom. I just wanted a high five.
Oh my God.
I'm not trying to be your mom.
I was laughing.
He read
No, he
you.
Was tight. He was like,
girl,
he was ready. You know, you're being nice to my dad.
Oh my God.
But yeah, Mark's like just like my friend.
If I have kids, they'll probably be that shady.
I know the mom's probably like, don't. If you see another girl, tell her you have a mom.
She's like, damn right.
That's fucking amazing. That's
but I
so
just
funny.
Yeah, kids are so funny.
They're funny, though. They make me laugh so much. And they're so cute. And they're just so
I love
cute.
To
sniff their face.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
never have baby fever.
Really?
Never.
That's fine.
Oh, no. I definitely
It's dangerous.
Don't.
I just feel so, like, I think that I'm just really weird. I've never felt like a deep emotional connection to like animals and babies the way that other people seem to be.
Yeah, not me with animals.
And I'm don't always think that
it's
like,
weird. It's not weird.
But I think Khan just likes to be alone.
I know.
I think she just likes her. She's like, I just need my energy. That's all.
Just now, am I like, okay, I think dogs, maybe they like me. Just now. Because before, I used to always be like, how come dogs don't, you know, come naturally and come sniff me? How come they don't want to play with me? How come, like, they're not asking me for food? You know what I'm saying? Like, how come they're not coming up to me and lick me like they do to other people? And that's when I was really sketched. I was like, what's going on here? And then I started thinking about me and kids. And, like, kids are the same way. When they come up to me, I talk to them like they're adults. I don't do nothing special. So they're not, like, out here like, wow, I really like Khan.
Right.
You know?
She's like, she didn't give me a piggyback ride.
For real.
She shook my hand.
Oh, my God.
Like, we were in a shift meeting.
And you know what's even worse? When I was younger, I used to be really mean to my little cousins because I was going through so much, like, just as a little teen. And I wasn't a fan of my family. And so, like, I just wanted to be away from everyone. So I used to be so mean to my little cousin so they could leave me alone. I have apologized. We're friends now.
Good.
Like, we're good. But yeah, bitch. So, like, I just felt like I knew how to be around children. Because even when I was a kid, I just shut it off or whatever. So that's why
that's so funny.
Feels so weird. I'm always like, why don't they connect with me?
Khan's also just like so like monotone. She's like, you want this toy? You want the toy?
Okay, but like, could you imagine me doing like a doggy voice?
Like, really? You want the toy? You want the toy? No, she don't ever get that excited. Nothing. She's so monotone.
Bitch. Hell no. I'll be your kid's cool aunt. Okay. Yes.
Titi Khan.
I will be your kid's cool aunt. Like, I feel like I will have, like, I need to have conversations with my friends, but I'll be like, okay, are you cool with your kid smoking pot with me?
I always told Alex, if that one day that we like go through their girls' rooms and we find something, I told them, I'm smoking that shit.
Oh my
period. God. Yeah. Why do you have this? This is ours.
And I love that you are like an advocate for stoner moms.
Yes.
Like, I love that. How else you gonna get through that shit?
Period. Right?
I mean,
she's like, I don't have a migraine.
What?
No, for real.
No, I mean, you know, we love wine moms.
There you go.
We gotta
love our weed moms. Our stoner moms.
Exactly. Stoner moms.
We're cool. I mean, wine moms are cool, too.
Yeah.
Because I drink wine, too. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. We're all over the boat.
Yeah.
But no, like, I mean, you know, I've not experimented, but I tried, you know, drinking and I tried smoking and all that. And I just gravitated towards weed. I just love it so much more, and it makes me feel so much better. But I feel like the way I love it, it's not popular. It's not like how I do it daily, I guess. Like, it's, I feel like it's weird to other people.
Yeah. Why? Have you
that, like, but hold on. I feel like people around me, like, they smoke. They're like social smokers, right?
Yeah.
Like, they'll smoke when everyone's smoking.
Yeah.
But I'm like smoking in the morning.
Oh, bitch, me too.
Okay, good.
I literally,
appetizer
like, everyone thinks that it's the weirdest thing. And this is
That's what I was saying.
This is to people that, like, you know, like, are not stoners. So they think that it's weird. But I tell everyone, like, I wake up, I have my coffee, and then I smoke my joint.
Yeah.
And then I go to the gym. I don't eat, I don't nothing. That's like the first thing that I do. And then I come home, I eat, I do whatever. I smoke a joint before I go to work.
Right.
And then I come home from work, I smoke a joint before I go to sleep.
That makes sense to me.
Exactly. But, like, I know that I smoke a lot, but it's crazy when people think that I'm crazy.
That's why I was like, it's kind of weird how I do it. Yeah. No, but I'm the same way. All that makes so much sense.
Exactly. Yeah, okay, so that makes me feel so much better. Because I'm starting to feel like a crackhead.
Oh my gosh, yes, me too.
I feel really like a crackhead all the time.
Me too.
I have actually come to accept this. I was like, okay, no more fighting. Like, literally no more fighting, like, smoking. Because it's like a running joke with, like, my friends. Whenever I'm like, okay, I'm going to quit. And I'm gonna quit. And it's only to be like, to take like tolerance break, but I really can barely do that. You know? And like, I fight it, and then I'm always like, there's something wrong with me, and I like,
there's nothing like, there's wrong with you. I just, I know that weed, she just, you know, loves to chill out. Like, it's so funny because she'll be like, okay, yeah, okay, let's just smoke. No, but it's so funny because before we, when we were recording earlier, you were like, okay, yeah, let's smoke and then we'll go eat. And then we smoked. And then we got back and then you were like, yeah, let's just smoke before she gets here. And then we were about to smoke and then you were like, no, let's smoke when she gets here. And then I was like, okay. And then she's just like rolling up and I'm just like bothering her. We're just like talking shit, being high. But she, yeah, it's very... It's but very on. It's like she like plans it out almost. She's like, okay, so I'll roll up, I'll do it here, and then but, afterwards I'll do it after that.
But that's why I feel like a crackhead.
No, but it's not even a crackhead thing. But some people just, she's so. I'm like,
I'm so functional.
Hit it twice and she's passing it to me, and I'm like, I'm okay. But yeah. I don't know if she just gets the loud. Whoever, hey, she got the loud because sometimes my eyes are like. And I'm like, what are you even saying right now? And then we're just like laughing and we're just like, shit.
And we just laugh.
Yeah, she has like the laughing gas. I don't know.
That's
fucking
funny.
It is funny.
But yes, I really, like, I absolutely.
She's so
love
functional. Like, she's like, all right, let's get shit done. Let's get shit
exactly
done.
Exactly.
Shit, let's go for a jog. I'm same. Like, I don't know, girl. Jog? I don't know if I'm down
let's
for
smoke
that.
This joint and go for a jog.
Yeah, I'm telling you, awesome. I have the best workout when
no,
I
believe
I
it. I love smoking and being on pre-workout.
Exactly. But that's why I always feel... I think that's why I fought it so much because I always felt like I had a problem. Because I like to smoke before I do things. Right. Then I convinced myself that, like, why do you need it so much? But then I had a realization. I was like, I have to actually separate myself because what I'm doing to myself is that I'm telling myself that what I'm doing is bad. But what am I right actually doing? Because when
like,
I think,
why are you choosing?
Yeah, like when I think about it, I keep saying this and then I make it seem like weed is a bad thing.
Right.
But weed is not the bad thing because I keep thinking about myself as like I'm self-sabotaging, but like I literally smoke when I feel anxious. I smoke to help myself eat. Mm-hmm. And I understand that at one point I'm gonna have to get off that codependency with certain mm-hmm things like eating and whatever. These are the things that I'm fully aware of. Right. But I need to stop telling myself that I have a problem.
Right.
You know, and that because the more that I tell myself that I have a problem, the more I feel the need to do it. That's where the crackhead can be coming.
And you're
going to,
like,
you know,
hate yourself.
Yeah. But why should you? Because
when you enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah. And
I've
think
never
that
heard someone dying off weed. All
right.
Right.
But that's
no,
what I'm saying.
Stop calling yourself a crackhead. I hate that.
Right.
Crack
know
is so different,
like,
from
always,
weed.
I
stop
know
saying that, bro.
Right.
But it's just like in the
Snoop
manners
Dogg is
of
fine.
How
Snoop
I like.
Dogg's like 60.
That's what I'm saying. If
that
Snoop
dog
Dogg
is functional.
Fine.
He's still singing.
Bitch.
Oh, wow.
He cooking. Have you seen the videos of him?
Yes.
Cooking?
He's
did
so
you know,
funny.
Did you know that he has a fucking part in a Vietnamese rap song?
What?
I'm telling you, there's a fucking thread of like Snoop Dogg would do anything to make that bread. And literally
so
it's all
much
the randomest thing and it's a fucking music video of him in a Vietnamese fucking song, dude. It was like Vietnamese guys singing and then just Snoop Dogg rapping.
I'm not
it's
smoking
insane.
Anymore, but I'm not smoking
that
any less.
That's, yo, Jules told me that earlier. What? She was like, I'm not smoking anymore, but I ain't smoking any less.
Hey.
And I was like, what? That's so, that's
that,
my motto
like
for now.
On a t-shirt. Viral.
Exactly. That's it.
It's
I was going to ask you, like, your
yes
tips for just mental chillness throughout your daily life with children and stuff. And I guess that's one of them. I'm guessing that you, because
yes
you advocate for that.
Yes.
And I love that. But what else do you do to fucking calm
yes
down?
Yes. So I love, you know, smoking. I love chilling out. I picked up reading.
Yes.
Oh
my God. You read a lot.
I've been picking it up. Yeah. Because
wow
I'm like intentionally like trying to like in my head, I'm telling me like telling myself, every time I want to pick up my phone, I should pick up my book instead.
Because
I spend
God
too much time
I've
on
been
my phone.
I've been struggling with that like so much.
Same.
Yeah,
because
I still struggle.
Yeah, but like for some reason, I used to read every morning.
Right.
I used to write every morning. I used to like be in
I
really
remember
good habits. And then
quarantine
all of us, yeah, and then all literally all of a sudden, it was almost kind of like I slowly transitioned to like, okay, maybe I don't, if I don't feel like doing it this day, maybe I don't have to.
Right.
Maybe I can just make it up for it, like in another day. And then slowly
right
it became like so many days of maybe I don't have to do it. And then it became like, okay, if I don't want to do it, I shouldn't do it. And then, like, yeah, respectfully, go ahead, girl. But then I'm like, what the fuck? That's such a good habit. Right. Why do I have such a hard time, like, staying in it? And, you know, like, I don't know.
Same. I struggle so much. I was just, like, I just got through, like, a, like, because I was journaling a lot a couple months ago, and I posted about it. And then after I post about it, I just stopped journaling.
Yeah.
For, like, months or, like, weeks. But I just got busy with life, I guess. And I wasn't, like, prioritizing it. That's what I tell myself. I got to prioritize it.
Oh, also, I really wanted to ask because, and only because, again, I have no goddamn experience in motherhood. Okay. But I do enjoy knowing about what the fuck women go through.
Right.
And I was talking to my hairstylist, and she's a new mom. Mm-hmm. And she just brought up, like, identity crisis, postpartum, and all of those experiences. Mm-hmm. Like, what was your, like, did it take you a little bit? And how was your process to, like, find yourself after birth? Because I feel like that is, not going to say traumatizing.
It is.
Okay.
So. I would say birth is kind of traumatizing.
Okay, I just didn't want to be like, oh, is that
disrespectful? I hate to throw that word around, but I mean, it is what it is. People.
It's definitely
your body. Your body is,
your body going under.
Not just, your body's going through it, but then you have to mentally process what your body was doing for 9 months and then for one day.
And then after.
You're like, oh my God, and then after.
Exactly.
Like,
and then you're literally in pain for hours and hours in labor. Yeah. My mom was in labor, I think, with my brother for like 18 hours.
Wow.
I can't even, I want to throw up just thinking about my legs open on a chair for 18 hours. You're telling me coochie out? Like, that's.
Never even thought about the back pain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Epidural, like, you have to get a shot in your, what?
Did you have a lot of, like, identity crisis, I guess?
Well, it's a tricky question because I feel like I have never known what I wanted to do with my life or who I was. Even before having kids, like in high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, like that's a tricky question because I feel like even now I don't know what to do or what I want to do with my life or who I am.
Yeah.
But I see other moms like within my family, like my in-law, she's a hairstylist person. And we had kids around the same time. And as when I was a stay-at-home mom, she went back to work and she put her kid into daycare. And it makes sense because she's a hairstylist and a makeup artist. So she takes her career very seriously, as she should. You know, like, we love working moms and we love stay-at-home moms. But, you know, she had something that she wanted to, like, she knew who she was and what she can do. And so I never had that. Right? So I don't know. That's a tricky question, and I'm sorry I can't provide any advice.
No, we love this perspective, too.
Yeah. So, but I would say, you know, of course, children are a priority, but always prioritize self-care.
Yeah.
But that just goes for everyone, right?
Yeah.
Like, self-care.
But I feel like it's an extra step for parents to remember that.
Right.
Because I feel like a really big part of being a parent is, and especially for in the Asian culture, there's a lot of sacrificing.
Right.
Like, there's just so much, like, sacrificing. Because in the meaning of love, if I love you, I'll do it. Or whatever it is, you know?
Right.
So it's just like, yeah.
I saw this one post that it says, why do Puerto Ricans think like that? And it says family, what it really means. And it says, forget about me, I love you.
Yeah,
which it means,
that's
like, that's literally what they do.
Cultures. And I feel like the younger generations, especially younger generations who are breaking patterns and breaking cycles with their own family and parents, but then younger kids who are becoming young parents now, I feel like we're shifting all of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because there is such a different awareness of, like, I understand that my parents never had the luxury to be able to work on their mental.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they never had the luxury to sit there and think about how to be better because they had to survive.
Right.
So I've never held like a resentment or whatever it is, but I have that luxury now because you gave it to me.
Right.
You went through all that so that I could sit here and think about how I can be a better person.
How I feel.
And how I feel and respect how I feel and whatever. Like, that's a whole like bridge to gap.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like young parents now are really changing that.
Right.
Like, oh, just because I have kids means that I'm losing everything. Right. Like my life is over.
Right.
Like, you can... Because I don't know. But I feel like you can have it all.
Yeah. You know? I remember telling my therapist, well, I want both. And she's like, you can't have both. Yeah. No, but... I was going to say something, I forgot. What were you saying last?
You can't do this. Both stoner moms. And that stoner mom's gone has no kids.
They are my children.
Oh.
These are my children.
That I'm aware that I have resources that my mom and dad never had.
Exactly.
Because they were always surviving.
Exactly.
That's all I knew to do was to survive. So I have this opportunity to be better, right? And my parents were, you know, they did good with what they had. But, you know, I could have been loved a little bit more. I could have been protected a little bit more. I don't know. Little things like that, right? So going forward with raising my kids, I want to make sure, like, they know that they're safe, that they're loved, that they're comfort. And so I'm always giving hugs because my parents...
Yes, Asian affection. People don't hug. No.
So I'm always giving her hugs.
My dad still, like, taps me now when I hug him.
Yeah, my dad taps me too. I hug him because, you know, I'm a hugging person.
Me
I don't
too.
Know. I didn't get it from them. So I'll hug them. My mom will be, like, patting me, like, okay. She's
That's
okay.
So
and I'm like,
funny.
I love you, Mom. She'd be like, I love you. Like, or sometimes
my
I
My dad says you too. But I'm like, fuck yeah, homie. Thank you for
you
replying.
You know he meant it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or he says okay, and I'm like, I'll take it.
Yes. Yeah, my dad would text me okay sometimes too.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, like, my parents... They're just from a different time.
Yeah. And what the best part, the moral of the story is for me that I get out of this whole conversation is that we're breaking generations. You know
yes.
what I mean? Like, from our kids to your kids, mm-hmm. from their kids, it's like
yes.
they're going to know different. Like, they're not going to know what we had.
Right.
So I think from that, it's like, it's just so heartwarming. Even just to hear you talk about, like, I never got hugs, so all I want to do is give my kids hugs.
Aww.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's just
yeah.
so heartwarming, and I can already hear us breaking generations. So that just
we
makes
are.
My heart so
We're
warm.
We're doing it. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point of this podcast, honestly,
yes.
is yeah. to be able to... All I ultimately want to do, and I think a part of, like, healing my inner child is
Period.
Ultimately I just want to give what I didn't have
mm-hmm.
so that maybe these kids don't have to feel what I felt, essentially,
yes.
right? So, like, all I want to do is to be able to provide, like, resources and whatever it is. And I just feel like this podcast... or whatever it is that I choose to do in the future, it has to be able to show kids that things are possible
mm-hmm.
and things are out there and we, like, you are heard and you are seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I think the difference with the older generation is they didn't make us feel like we could be whatever it is and that we were wrong. But in fact, like, you know things from your old world and in your old ways. But how come you don't want to listen to me when I know what... Like, I'm
yeah.
literally... You birthed me in this time and age.
Oh, my gosh. Is that my phone? I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. But, like, literally, like, you birthed me in this time and age. Like, why are you getting mad at me? Like, I'm telling you. Like, be open to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I see it too. But the more I grow up, the more I have compassion for older people being stuck in their ways.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. Like, for me as a kid, I was always, like, told, like, Jules, shh, or Jules, be quiet. Nobody cares. And
Aww.
That's, like, for me, it's, like, being on a podcast and all I want to do is just talk is, like, so important. Which
me
I love.
Too.
Yeah, I'm literally healing my inner child. That's what just made me connect.
Yeah, but also, like, you are in therapy, and I think that's important because
right.
you'll be able to... Oh, and this is... There we go, bitch. This is the point that I was trying to tie to.
Oh, okay.
Like, you'll be able to heal your trauma so
mm-hmm.
that you don't pass it on to
right.
your kids. Because I shit you not, like, I feel like I carry so... There's no way that I am just the way that I am just because of me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I am the way I am because of my ancestors, because
yes.
of everything that my mom had to go through.
Have
I
you
carry.
Heard of that? That we
yeah.
were in our mom's...
Yeah.
Like, we were in her, like, eggs.
No, that's why, like, I say this all the time. Like, I I'm literally my mom, right? And I feel like I'm her, and I just have this.
You experienced her.
Yeah,
yeah.
So deeply.
Because you were there.
It's so crazy.
And what's crazy is that when your grandma was pregnant with your mom.
Yeah. Yeah,
in the like babies, they already have like girl babies already have.
Yeah, one. Exactly. I have. So. I read this book called The Female Brain, and it's a great book to read for any like parents or whatever, for just women to read it in general. But it's a book about literally talking about the female brain and how it differs since birth, and why like girls are the way that they are and why they grow up to be whatever and how they're connected to their mothers in the wombs and like. All of this different shit, like, that's what I'm saying.
Generational
like,
trauma.
Exactly. Like, we have to do our part to heal ourselves now so that we can discontinue that generational trauma, because it's not fair for these kids to have to grow up and work through all of these things. I'm not fucking complaining about it, but it's more so, like, I realize that it's much deeper than just myself. Like, it goes way back to, like, I'm sure my ancestors experiencing war and, like, hardship and just constant like there's no way that I can be this fucking like humble and whatever, not given the opportunities that my parents had given me. I came off so fucking well off, you know, and there's no way that I could be that humble and like to be what I am without having a little bit of my ancestors and who they are, like their traits.
Right,
it's and whatnot. So how come you don't believe that, or not saying you, but like there are people that don't believe in trauma, like generational trauma. Like if you can pass that on to, if I know that you can pass this good shit on to me, you gotta be able to pass this bad shit on to me too, bitch.
Oh yeah,
you know,
because it was definitely passed on to our parents.
Exactly,
that's like a good example of it. No, yeah, and so again, like I recognize my resources, so I'm trying to use my resources. And I was, you know, I've always wanted to go to therapy. Like, I always knew that that was something that I would, like, enjoy to do. Enjoy. Or something that I knew that I needed.
Yeah.
Because I was traumatized as a child. And so I always wanted to go. And then...
That's so crazy. So did I.
Yeah. Like, it was something always, like, I'll get to.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I wish I had therapy so bad.
Right. Like, I want to talk to someone.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
And
I would. And it's funny because I was listening to one of your episodes and you guys talk about how you talk to yourselves.
Yeah.
I talk to myself.
Yes.
And I always thought it was the weirdest thing. But I was like, no, whatever. And it does clear your mind up. And you hear yourself and you can articulate better.
And you can tell what's real and what's like a wild thought.
Exactly. But yes, so then baby Noah happened. So I was like not mentally okay. And I wanted to make sure, and you know, going through that and then seeing Emma and being like thinking I have to be here for her. I have to take care of her. Like I have to be present every day for her. So I can't just like sit around and do nothing and mope around and be depressed. Like I have to like step up again.
Wow.
So that's when it hit me that like I need to get mentally stable for my children.
Wow.
Because that's going to affect them. If I'm not mentally okay, like it's going to affect my parenting, which I assume that's what happened with my mom, because my mom was always so angry.
Oh wow.
And it makes sense because she had so much anger.
Yeah.
She was she was half American.
Yeah.
She was born in Vietnam, half American, from a soldier baby, an American baby.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's back a then, whole thing with Vietnamese people, bro.
Yeah.
You guys got a whole fucking nickname in Vietnamese and everything. For real.
But like a quick little side note, so after the war, the Viet Cong was killing, because they hated Americans, so they were killing babies that were born
with American
Vietnamese
soldiers.
And American.
Yeah.
So they were killing those babies. And my mom was one of those babies, but like my grandpa, my great grandfather would shave her head and because she had light hair. So you could tell automatically. So, you know, and then growing up,
she carried so much trauma with her.
That's what I'm saying, and anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then growing up, she was bullied. And, you know, again, Asian people are savages. My mom would go to school and she would be like spanked or hit or whatever, you know, or made an example of in class.
In Vietnam. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because you,
you
spent 10 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's true. I used to be like spanked in front of my class because I was like the leader and I was like always made an example. They would spank me with like a long ass like ruler or stick or whatever. And
it was embarrassing.
If we all did something wrong, like I would always have to go to the front of the class and they would spank me.
Right.
That's crazy. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
And like, I was born here, so I can never imagine going to school over there. Like, and it makes sense. I mean, not makes sense, but like over there, like my cousins that are older now, they're so like, I don't know, because they're like, they were raised strictly in school, so they're like very put together. I don't know. Whereas we're like, woo, I don't know. Does that make sense?
They're very like,
to the books. They're not open. They're to the books. But yeah, so I just want to like get mentally stable for my kids and for my husband too. Like, I want to be a better mom and a better wife overall, because again, like I lash out. Or again, so with my mom, she was bullied, and so she just has so much anger, and so she's kept that anger inside. And then growing up, she's also dealt with my dad's issues and my dad's side of the family. Mm-hmm. So she's always had anger, and that would lash out on us. If I didn't clean my room, she would be yelling at me, and I'm just, and I guess that's why I'm so like calm, because she would yell and I wouldn't like say anything back. I'm reading this book called Your Perfect Right. It's about assertiveness. I planned this out because I was like, I'm going to mention this. From my whole life, I was very non-assertive. I just like stayed back, didn't say anything. Same. Very silent. And my brothers would like argue with my mom, you know? And in my head, I'm like, why are you arguing with her? Like, there's no point. Like, that was in my head. There's no point in arguing, you know? And then over time, realizing all that anger and all that yelling, and she was just always loud, you know, in the house sometimes, because she's angry or like she's kept up, whatever. That like would make me nervous, you know? So I don't want to create that environment for my daughters.
Yeah.
So if, you know, now if Emma drops something, I try not to like react or yell at her, but and like approach it in a very like gentle way, you know, or like you've heard of gentle parenting. I'm trying that out.
That's so awesome.
Like,
I'm testing
and trying to be like really patient, you know, because like kids don't know better until they're taught.
Exactly.
You know, and you, and they have big emotions. You've probably heard of it. Like, they have big emotions, so they're trying to navigate it, just as humans are. Like, that's why I'm taking myself to therapy, because I have big emotions, and you know, Alex does too, and you know, we argue sometimes and it gets really big, and we're just learning how to communicate. We're just learning how to coexist and work together and all that. So it's not easy. It's always a process, you know? But, so yeah.
That's amazing. I have another mom friend who like will tell me, it's so fucking funny. Everyone I know are having little Virgo babies, little baby Virgo girls. And I'm like, bro, get ready. I tell them all the time, like, get fucking ready. And then they'll tell me about their behaviors, and I'm like, sounds right. Sounds about right.
Checking the box. Attitude, right?
Yeah. Bitch, I literally, but it's so funny because she'll tell me, like, so one of my friends, she told me the other day, like, her kid, like, one time smacked her in the face. And then she told me how she reacted, and she was like, of course I was, like, mad, but, like, I just told her, like, mommy, like, it's not okay to slap your mom like that. Mommy doesn't slap you like that, and whatever it is. And, like, I was just, like, I know that you're dealing with babies and you're saying that, but, like, I literally have to treat myself that way. Like, I have to, like, you know.
Like, explain it out, like, you can't do this.
Exactly. But, like, the same amount of patience that it takes for you to raise a kid like that, sometimes it takes the same, if not more, for adults.
Right.
To deal with adults.
Yeah. You know? I always think about that, like, sometimes, like, dealing with, like, just, like, talking to Alex or, you know, even him explaining it to me, it feels like you're talking to a toddler. Like, you're explaining it as if you're explaining it to a toddler. But, like, that's why you should talk to toddlers the way you talk to people, because we're all on the same thing.
Yeah.
We're all living out here, learning. Literally. We're always learning, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, this is random, but I always tell Alex's siblings, you know, like, our parents are going through this, like, it's always going to be, like, the first time, right? Like, my parents are in their 50s. It's the first time they're in their 50s, right? Like, this is my first time being 25, like, like, yeah, we know the ropes, but, like, we're still learning.
Yeah.
And we're still, there's so much more.
Yeah.
And, like, we're going to be 50 one day.
There's this one quote that a really good friend showed me, and I just love it. It just always sticks with me, is, I know that I know nothing.
Yes.
And it's, like, that's the fucking truest thing. No matter what I know, it's, like,
powerful.
I literally, I know nothing. Like, no matter how much knowledge, 50 years, 70 years, it's like still every day. It's like, oh my God, mm-hmm. I didn't even know that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, that's literally mm-hmm. how people should live.
Yeah, I never want to be like, oh yeah, I know this, or like a know it. I never, I just exactly. never want to be a know it all.
But even like if I know something and someone says that they know something, they know right. it too or whatever, I'll shut up and same. I'll let them go so I can absorb what else they know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because there's so much to be. One time I was in college and so we were like introducing ourselves or whatever, and one kid, like, he got up and he was like, we were talking about things that were important to us, and he was like, my education is important to me because knowledge is the one thing that no one can take away from you. Mm-hmm. And like, for someone that don't go to school and whatever, I was just like, whoa. Whoa. And I was that like, yeah, fine. Fuck yeah. But that's when I unlocked like the desire to self-teach mm-hmm. and to like self-educate and to like, I understand that I didn't go to school, but I need to know how to travel by myself, do my own taxes, know how to be good with my own money, know, like, educate and myself on the things that
teachable.
I...
Like,
exactly.
Be able to be teachable.
Exactly. Yeah. I always want to be a sponge. So, like, mm-hmm. when I go into things, I have a really big ego, but I know when to, like, suck it up and mm-hmm. be, like... I know when to tell myself that in this situation, it's better to admit that you know nothing.
Yeah.
It's better to admit that... okay, I need to ask you questions. Yeah. And it's better to, like, say, like, hey, I might, like, it's better to have a clear idea than to go with your ego and then be guessing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Like, can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And, like, I've always had, like, a learning anxiety. Mm-hmm. So the way that I learn is, like, I need to know everything. Like, I can't function unless you tell me from literally A to Z, and then I know exactly what I'm doing, then I have a backup plan because mm-hmm. I understand everything because I don't trust this.
No, that's it's good. It's crazy. Though. Surviving.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my God, my therapist will literally, like, I'll be talking about some shit, and my therapist will literally be like, okay, well, I just want you to take into account that this is how you had to be when you were little, and that you were surviving. And you're no longer surviving. And so you kind of have to... You don't have to be like this no more. Like, my therapist tell me that all the time.
Good.
Because I'm always like, why am I so angry?
He's like, your inner child is coming out right now. And you are understanding and realizing and accepting it. And you're like, I just want to scream.
Exactly.
I just want to throw plates.
Exactly.
And she's like, calm down.
You know, I feel like I found the key to me sounding as calm as you guys is to always have calm guests.
Stop. I'm, like, talking like this because I don't want to, like, scream into the mic. And like,
oh, no. I love it because I'm trying to not scream into the mic either because poor these people's ears, man.
Yeah, I'm a listener. I know.
I literally that's why I'm like, always, like... Oh
I'm not
God.
This angelic.
No, but also Jenny also has a YouTube blog.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little about that? Where the people can find you, your Instagrams and such?
Yes, well, just go for my Instagram. My Instagram will have my YouTube link. Because, I don't know, my name's Jenny on there, so you can't probably find it. So
I'm still Jenny from the blog.
Hey. And so my Instagram is Jenny with 3 N's .777.
Nice.
Yes. I'm manifesting. That's why I put 777.
There we go.
I'm manifesting. I'm taking all the vibes.
There we go. Soak it all in.
But yeah, like I'm trying to be there for my kids all the time, trying to parent them better, trying to make them feel valid for their emotions.
Yes.
And do you like vlog like with your kids? And do you like it's like a mom vlog?
Yes. And at first I went into it wanting to be like a family channel because, you know, family channels are really big on.
Yeah.
But then like I also ended up not really liking that idea.
Yeah.
So I used to film a lot of Emma when she was growing up. And I still do, you know, I still film. It's a bunch of vlogs of just me being at home. That's why I call it Stay at Home Mom Diaries, which I got it.
Love
the idea
that name.
From.
I yeah. love that.
It's not my idea.
Name.
I got the idea from Michelle Choi. She has Living Alone Diaries. I think you'll love her.
Oh, wow.
I
okay.
love her. She's Korean. I love Asian
No, but
people.
It still is yours because this is
right.
you
so
a different
yeah.
twist
I adapted to,
it. To
my own.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just my life at home because it really is. What it is.
Yeah.
But going forward with Ella, I want to be like more conscious of what I'm putting out there of the kids.
Yeah.
Because before I was very like naive and I didn't know. Like I knew there was creeps out there, but I didn't know it was to this extent.
Yeah.
Like, now you read the comments.
It's the internet.
And like,
yeah. And I get messages when I was pregnant, there would be guys that would like screenshot my pictures of when I was pregnant and tell me how beautiful I was and the things that they would do.
No.
TMI, but I feel like, I don't know, I just keep thinking about it and I'm like, oh, I should have like screenshotted or something. Like, this needs to be like, there needs to be an awareness to this because because that wasn't the first time that that's happened to me. It happened to me a year ago. And plus, I'm Asian. So, like, you know.
Yeah, girl.
We are
the minute anyone says that like, you're exotic, I'm like, get the fuck away from me. That's cool.
Like, you cannot have my number.
I mean, we love Asian girls, right? Like,
we
love
do,
them.
But we don't but love we the don't way fetish. That you love it.
Yeah, and I completely understand, but that's, I guess that in that point, that's when you kind of have to, like, get a little bit stronger in a sense, because mm-hmm. the internet is so cruel and it is mm-hmm. so, like, annoying.
Right, right. Which then, because I thought of that too, like, if I just, like, because I want to be like
just turn
impulsive and just
off. No, yeah, for sure.
It all.
Don't.
But
let
then
it...
they're winning.
Yeah.
If I was to take all my stuff
that's
off.
That's the thing, because no matter what, like, I will post literally funny TikToks of me doing like dumb shit, mm-hmm. and guys will comment, like, I want to come on your titties. Like my titties aren't even showing, sir. Like, what are you fucking saying? No, like, it's, but at the end of the day, it's so like, ridiculous. I will still post dumb shit and that will never stop,
right.
you know? So
right,
I think
you
should post about your beautiful family because I'm going to follow.
Yes.
Also, everyone, if you live in Orlando, Florida, or anywhere,
Central.
And you need a motherfucking house, Jenny and her husband are actually realtors.
Yeah.
So literally, like, hit them up.
Buy
if you go to Jenny's link or Jenny's, like, Insta, you'll find everything, and I'm sure you'll find your way to her husband.
Yes, I tag him in everything. And you can message me on Instagram, too. And then I guess if it's a part of who I am, I love making videos, so again, like, I'm not gonna give in to these creeps, and I'm gonna still make videos and I'm gonna still create because mm-hmm. that's just what I really enjoy doing, so I'm always gonna do that, and I'm just gonna be more conscious of what I'm putting out there of the girls,
because
I have girls,
you
know, I'm just like children girls, so which I have two girls, by the way. I don't know if
you yes.
on the podcast.
No, she just has two dogs named Emma and Ella.
They're actually German shepherds.
No, I mean, pet owners? You guys are parents.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, do you guys agree? Or I don't know.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's
only because this is two hills that I will fucking die on. One, men are trash.
Okay.
To the way that people care for pets, especially dogs, in America,
mm-hmm.
is absolutely fucking ridiculous and insane.
Yes.
And that's the only reason why I will say that people in America, if you have pets, you are parents.
That's so funny.
Because, like, bitch, I have never had a... Well, I had a dog here with my ex,
mm-hmm.
but I had never had pets on my own here.
Right.
But I had dogs growing up all through Vietnam, and dogs were considered guardians of the house.
Right.
So they would guard your house when they need to, and you let them go do whatever they want. There ain't no such thing as you're going to be on a collar,
uh-huh.
and I'm giving you fucking socks for when you're cold so that when we walk outside, like, you know what I'm saying?
Stop.
I'm not making fun of it because I think, like, respectfully, I think it's ridiculous, but I love it in a way because it's like, that's awesome. That's awesome. Some animals get to be so lucky because that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, just be kind
but
to
I just
animals.
Think that it's so fucking funny, dude. Like, when I see fucking cats in strollers, I'm like, what's happening? What is so, actually happening?
That's so funny coming from your perspective growing up in Vietnam. That's
yeah.
so funny. Yeah, my parents, they view dogs differently than like Midwesterners. Like
it's too much
Westerners
to take care of here because they can't leave them like they did in Vietnam.
Yeah, and we would get complaints because my parents would leave their dogs because, you know, my parents live here. They would get complaints for their dogs.
Oh,
but they're, like,
God.
Raising them as if they're in Vietnam, like, you know, because that's all they know.
Damn, that's so funny.
I feel the same way about dogs. I love dogs and cats, but I don't want one.
I'm allergic, so they're, like, cute from a distance, and then once I'm like, Hachu! I'm like, yeah, get your fucking dog and your fucking cat. But they're really cute. But they're really cute. I'm addicted to dogs. Like, I want one so bad.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
I know.
I'm so lonely.
In the same way that I feel, like, dogs and babies are not
so
connected
yeah.
to me, I don't feel like I'm connected to them like that.
My friend got a dog, and she was telling me how she has wipes for him to, like, wipe his butt after he poops. Which makes sense, because you know how, like, TMI, but, like, you know, like, dogs, after they go, they have like a little bit left.
You have to wipe their butt.
I mean, not all the time. Unless it's like hanging out, right?
First of all.
Because if they're indoor, you don't want that.
I gotta pick up your shit. Second of all, I gotta wipe your ass.
I mean, I guess it's not that common. I guess it's not that common. I don't know. I just remember my friend telling me that, and I was like, oh, okay. And that's why I'm like, you guys are literally parents. You guys are literally parents. You
get only in America.
Only
not a dog in a stroller.
So many
dogs. Not a dog in a fucking
that has
stroller.
To be like an episode of like
that's so funny.
Vietnam.
No, literally. Just you know, culture. There's a one of my friends. He like I met him randomly, but he's also a kid that he's a Vietnamese kid who also came here and was mm-hmm. like whatever. And when he like first listened to my podcast, he was like, "Oh my god, I also came here when I was 10, and I also was bullied and whatever." And I was like, "There are so many of the same experiences."
Yeah,
and especially with like. When we talked about like mothers and stuff, I know that we always talk about how black women, like especially mm-hmm. black women, are deserving of so much because they went through so much. Like there's so much untalked talks mm-hmm. about what Asian mothers and Asian women mm-hmm. have to go through in yes. the culture of being women.
Right.
Just and colored responsibilities women. And what is expected of you and what you're given and like just struggles that you silently like go through because mm-hmm. your culture it's demands this from you.
Yes.
Or whatever it is. It's fucking insane.
It's crazy. And the time is so different. So many different expectations.
Exactly. But I feel like that's what we're doing. We're cutting all of that motherfucking. Yeah. We're just stopping all of that.
Break it.
And I feel like this was a really good conversation.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed this recording.
So did I. Thank you so much for coming on, Jenny. Jenny's not a friend of mine, but now she's a friend of mine.
Now we're all friends. Now I was thinking about it. I was like, because I'm just like, I don't know. I believe in everything, I guess. The world is not that black and white. But I was like, you know, like timing is everything. Our paths are crossing. Like there's a reason I was supposed to meet you. Yeah. There's a reason why I was supposed to come back and like be nice.
Yeah.
So I'm soaking it in, you know, and that's why we click. There was a reason, right?
Exactly. And Aries
and we're
vibes.
Aries. Yeah, Aries I didn't know. I come didn't on know now. Your birthday was in April.
You didn't know it was Sunday. Come on, you knew.
I don't know.
She knew.
The universe told me.
She knew.
Telepathically, all Aries are like, she's Aries season.
And we pretend not to know.
She's like, I didn't know.
I just really fucking love, like, I don't care what kind of shit you talk about astrology hoes, but I fucking love every season when all the astrology hoes are like, it's Aries season. It's Virgo season.
Yes, and we were
it's
saying
it's like kind of like we're united.
What a like cool the full moon's out tonight.
Exactly. It's silly, but it's fucking cool.
Yeah. No, yeah, you said that earlier, and we're like, oh, a lot of people hate Aries.
Yeah. Like, they're like, they're so shit it on. I'm like, listen, you're mad.
No, or like, I feel chaotic as an Aries moon, so.
Good.
There's a lot, yeah.
It's like that good chaotic.
It is. It's literally like, I feel like because I'm an Aries moon, it makes me do things so much more like explosive. That like part. So much more of like an oomph.
Impulsive.
Yeah. Impulsive but like more charismatic as well.
Right.
Because I feel like I have such a sense of like, I don't know what it is. Like a weird sense of like leadership. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I can always take control of a situation or I can always like.
I can see that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I can always like form like, I can always delegate and I can always think of like what needs to be done
mm-hmm.
and like how to get it done. And like if I can, I feel like I can always cover the group. Like, it's mm-hmm. weird. So, like, I feel like I'm just, because of, like, my Aries moon, I'm always like, thank God. Because then I'm more motivated.
Yeah.
To, like, you know, imagine if I was, like, a Virgo all through and through. I would have been, like.
But you're a Virgo?
Yeah. I'm a Virgo sun. So, I'm so, like, critical and nitpicky and, like, so, like, I'm already so on my shit. But I feel like because I have, an like, Aries moon, it makes me, like, be so deep in it.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. To get shit done, but we're gonna cry while we do it.
Okay,
definitely cry.
Yeah, I need to give you my chart and read it to me. I don't know. Well, but I'm Virgo. Reading. I have Virgo in my chart.
Oh my god, that's awesome! I've just gotten my chart read by different people.
Oh,
like I got my chart read by like a witch. I got my chart read by a like baby like astrologer and whatever. So I've just had different interpretation. And before I got my charts read, I read my own chart. Mm-hmm. So like I just have different interpretations that ultimately tie it all together to my life. And that's why I'm like, this is useful information because I can I don't think that it determines who I am. I think it's like a guide map of like, oh, I can do this differently.
I think I've been thinking about this recently. Like I want to be more in tune
with myself. No, exactly. That's what it is.
And that's more than just like your physical body. Yes. It's your mental. So you want to know.
Exactly.
Like, who you are.
Yeah. I feel like I'm way more in tune with my... Like, I've never thought that I was, like, book smart. Mm-hmm. And I've never been book smart. But in the same way, I just feel like I've been... Growing up, I've always based everything on emotions. Mm-hmm. And I've always, like... I push for emotional intelligence because that's all I really have ever had. Huh. And it's really hard for me to absorb... things in different ways or just be able to see things like in like an intellectual way in that sense, like in if you think about mm-hmm. the way the world works and stuff, I've right. always ever go based on my emotions. Mm. And like I feel like things like astrologies and stuff, it makes me feel like it's okay to like be like that and to know that like that's a different kind of necessity that a human should have. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I you have to be able to process emotional, like
oh yeah,
you know
everyone has to.
Like I can't walk into a room and tell you like facts, and I can't walk into a room and like mm-hmm. be able to like school you,
yeah,
or tell or explain you exactly. You but I can connect to you because I can mm-hmm. read exactly what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. I can read the room and tell you like why the fuck people are acting this way and whatever because mm-hmm. I know how to just read people.
And that's good because some people don't.
Yeah, exactly. So there's different forms of intelligence. Like
I said, it takes me a few tries. Her, she's like, yeah, practice. No, the vibe is not there. I'm like, okay. Let me walk back out and walk back in.
Let me try again. As long as you're trying.
Right? Yeah. No, I promise you. I'm like, my awareness is all the way high. I think it's just when she smokes, it's like her radar is like, ding. She's like, yep, that person's red, that's green.
I'm like, whoa.
No, honestly, that's a good trait, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't let anyone cross you.
Exactly, bitch. Exactly. And on that note, don't ever let motherfuckers cross you.
Period.
Period.
I would like to say for parents, just as long as you show up every day, show up for your kids, and you're that's doing awesome. Good. Like, don't worry about this whole Montessori learning or like... active parenting, like just show up for your kids.
Do your best
and yeah. as long as you're trying, yeah. that's what reminded me, as long as you're trying, that's all that matters.
Show up for them kids, you heard the lady.
Exactly.
Show up for them kids, be there for them kids,
support the kids. Let's go,
love your kids.
Raise
listen to the kids.
And okay. I want to say I'm so proud of you guys.
Thank you so much.
You guys are seriously creating such a beautiful space, and I cannot wait to see where this goes. I am an active listener.
Oh my god!
Sometimes I'm listening. I want to respond. I want to be like, oh yes, yes, this.
Give
this,
feedback, this, girl. So hey, listen. It. Give yes. feedback.
That means
we love
so
feedback.
Much to us.
For real.
Yeah. So I'm so proud of you guys. Keep doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Of course.
Yes.
We're like really
oh my gosh! I zoomed it over here.
Yeah.
If you ever need me again, let me know.
Yeah.
Even just to hang out.
I'm so excited. This was so beautiful.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I hope that this conversation just provided something to you. If anything, gave you a piece of joy for your day.
Yes. And if you know anybody that needs this episode, or maybe you're just thinking of a friend while listening to this episode, go ahead and send that episode to your friend or share this episode with anybody that you feel might need it.
Exactly. And you can also always send topic suggestions through our DMs on mentalchillness.podcast and mentalchillness on Facebook. And I am Mother Eartha with a zero.
And my Instagram is lots of jewels with two S's.
And once again, Jenny, yours is...
Jenny with three N's dot 777. Oh, it's so complicated.
Alrighty, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you really enjoyed this conversation. And mental chillness, we are out of here.
Let's go. Bye.
Bye.